All right. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. It doesn't echo as much outside, so I'll make sure everyone can hear me. Hopefully there's no train. Little bit of a change of scenery tonight. There's some intention behind it, but let me just get a couple practical notes out of the way so we don't have to circle back to that. Obviously, meeting outside, we had the sanctuary closed off. We just wanted there to be a literal, like, closing off of a very intimate, special place. So that's closed off for now as we gather outside, go through a couple things as a family, kick off the new season, a new time that we're entering into, and then we'll move from there. But practically outside, what we're going to be doing is, we all know that we get this bomb drop at the beginning of the year, right? We get a mother's word over the year, and it's going to be paired tonight with the father's blessing. So as we're preparing for that tonight, what we're going to do out here is just literally have a couple of things to open with. Eric will sound the shofar in light of what today represents, and then we'll have a mother's word over the new year, and then we'll be able to pick up and move and go inside from there. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. So we know what today is. Kids, what's today?
Yom Teruah.
The first of them, right?
First of them.
There is a deep stirring and anticipation as we came to tonight, right? We had an entire month of preparation, an entire season of preparation to send us into all of this. So as we're here tonight, remembering that this time that we're in is not just another gathering, it's not just another Friday, but it's a critical mark in time, and it's an appointed time, yes? We're at the end of something, and we're about to enter into something that's new. And that is a very special, powerful thing that is not this watered down, I'm in a new thing, I'm stepping into something new, but we know and we carry daily and every moment that we're in the weight of what that really means, yes? So as our hearts have been transformed and will continue to be transformed, be carrying all of those things as we step into all that tonight has and what it's going to send us into, all right? So before we do the trumpet blast and the mother's word over the year, I wanted to just sort of, I guess the word that comes to mind is prime the family, knowing that we're going to have this mother's word over the year. I think we all probably remember and have carried over the year what she released last year. I'll just kind of go over a couple highlights that I wanted to just let us stir in. This last year that she kicked us off into was a year representing connection and revelation. It was a year of being able to behold and have those aha moments and go deeper in all those things. And it was also a year of heaven invading earth, but not just a passive thing that we get to watch, but heaven invading earth through us, right? As we reflect on this last year and we ask that question, has this happened? Let us be carrying that in, like, the deeper understanding that we have now of what that means, especially as we approach culture, that's just not, again, a passive thing, but we're carrying deeply and intimately exactly what that means. One thing I wanted to highlight in your word last year, Mom, is you said language will be the overflow of what is connected in our hearts. And that was a powerful positioning to send us into the year, but specifically as that year transitions us into this year, all of that means for culture, that the language you speak collectively represents what you believe, what you value, what you come from, and everything that you carry with you, right? So, hopefully that just kind of reprompts us and primes us and gets us ready for another word over the new year.
One thing to just add with Mom's word, I wanted us to be outside for Mom's word. I know it's a little bit loud, but if we can do our best to scoot in when she talks so we can really engage that, hear it, it's being recorded, right? So if anybody misses it for some reason, you guys can go through and dissect it. We'll have it for the year. But one of the reasons why I wanted her outside is because what Yahweh's been doing in us as a family is waking us up, right? He's been saying, you've been dead, you're dull, you're lifeless, there's no heartbeat. There's, like, he's been working at, like, don't just be a dead people. And so what I was feeling was with Mom's word, as we're learning to be awake, I don't want her word to fall flat on our end. So while we're learning to be awake, regardless of what lands here, I know it will land here, like on the earth, and the earth responds to the way that Mom speaks. And so I want us to be intentional to that, that we are being that receiving place, but know that there, it's still being received whether we step into that or not. The other reason for being outside is because of the aspect of culture being made public. And I want like our family and what we carry to be public as he's stepping us into that, then what's to come, that the culture of our family is loud and it's present and we're active in that. And so we're ready to continue to carry those things. So Eric is going to be doing the shofar blast. I know that Mom went over this last year, but I just wanted to give our family a quick reminder on what the blasts are in case anybody's forgotten or we were not remembering.
I will be doing that while he does it.
Oh, okay.
So it's up to you.
Okay, we'll let you do that.
Okay.
Mom will be able to speak to that. So as you guys are engaging that, make sure that you're connecting those pieces and really feeling that internally. That's a huge shift that we're stepping into, if we haven't already, but that internal processing of owning it for ourselves, being able to do something. So in the moment, as those things are happening, receive it, shift it, move it, be ready to transition, okay? One last thing is when we shift out of here and we go inside, there's a communion table that's set up. What I felt prompting in that is that there is an opportunity to check yourself at the table. So the table is literally set up as like a mirror image on both sides. It's symmetrical. So it's a mirror reflection. So when you get to the table, don't just dismiss it and walk around, but give it a second, check yourself at the table, let that wash over you, recognize that there's an elder brother that you have to pass by in order to get to what's next, and that you can't dismiss the elder spirit that's there in order to continue. So before you go, make sure to check yourself. Hopefully that doesn't sound like it. Did you want to speak to anything before he does the trumpets?
Or? I'm going to speak before and after each blast.
Okay, we're ready. We're ready for that? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt when she was speaking, I took my shoes off. You don't have to, but if you feel like it's a moment to get on the earth, I would take your shoes off. It's interesting that you said that last year the word was about language, because I immediately heard that what's going to happen is our language will be embodied. So what's happening this next year is our language will be embodied in our being. So that lines up with a shofar blast. There's no words in this sound, and yet there is a cry of words, but it's words that are embodied in the shofar blast. So what I'm going to do, and we did this kind of last year, is I'm going to speak to, there's four sections of blasting on Yom Teruah. Each of those blasts, I'm going to speak before and after. Okay? So the first thing I want to help us think about as our feet are on the ground, and we're thinking about the sound. Are you guys able to hear me? Am I loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay. When a lion roars, it can be heard, the decimals, am I saying that right? The decibels, I'm a math person here, the decibels can be heard up to 5 miles away. So there are sounds that are going to begin to come out starting tonight out of us that will shape. I've been saying, what happens when your shadow falls? What happens when you walk by someone? What happens 5 miles from now? What happens from 5 miles from here? Because if creation can roar and 5 miles can know, a king has just stepped foot on the ground. There's some authority that has put its foot down. How much more can we expand in what's to come? So I want to put that out there. Remember that Yom Teruah is the beginning of the new year. It is a spiritual wake-up call. So the first thing that we're going to do, and you guys are going to start to hear some language from me that's going to sound a little odd, but just, you're going to be fine. We're going to set some intentions before this shofar blast. The word intention in Hebrew, it's not a New Age thing. It's a Hebrew thing. It's kavanah. Anybody remember a long time ago, the women's Bible study we had called kavanah? He's redeeming some things. So we are going to set our kavanah, which is an intention. What it's doing is what Jason just said. He's priming us to get the fullness of this. This is not man's tradition. You can make it that. You can check it off the list if you want. Or your life can absolutely be transformed right now.
Yeah.
That's your choice. Okay? So it's a spiritual wake-up call. This is our kavana tonight. May my ears be open to the voice of the shofar. And may my heart be open to the truth of who I am in him.
Amen.
At each shofar blast, I will set an intention afterwards so that you can really embody what it is that you're hearing. The first shofar blast is called Tekiah. It's going to be a single, unbroken blast. This represents kingship and joy. It also represents clarity and strength. What's happening in this shofar blast is the attention to a coronation of a king. This blast will start and end tonight. So if you're not quite there, it'll come again. All right. Number one, this blast that's going to happen, it is going to be grounding and awakening. What this is going to do is going to take your distraction from the last year and bring you to complete presence. Attentive, my son, to listen and respond.
Yeah.
Let this blast cut through the noise in your mind.
Yeah.
It's like a firm tap on the shoulder, a sudden flash of light in a dark room. Solid, unbroken, demanding of your attention. This blast is solid, unbroken, demanding your attention. It is a summon to look inward. This sound's going to go out, but it is you saying, okay, cut the noise of the distraction and bring me full focus and come inward. Okay? All right. Our response in that sound is, I am here. The second set of blasts is called Shevarim. There's going to be three medium wailing sounds. This represents brokenness and repentance. It's a broken, heavy sigh or groaning of a heavy heart. It's repentance. What this blast is going to do, it's going to now that you're at attention, it's going to shift you from presence to vulnerability. See the progression? Distraction. I'm here. I'm at attention. Now, what do I do with that attention? I'm going to be vulnerable in the presence of the coronation. The weight of the past year is going to mimic in this sound. It is going to be a heavy, aching exhale. Do you guys know about exhale? Why do we exhale? To get rid of the toxins that are being stored up. It's going to bring your guard in a position to say, I admit. Does that make sense? So you're at attention. This is going to mimic a brokenness of, I'm choosing to be vulnerable, to let this start to break up some things. Go ahead. The intention for that is, I accept my imperfections. Now that you are at attention and you've dropped your guard, this next set is called Teruah. This is weeping. It's an alarm. It's a sharp, trembling cry. It's to shake you awake from spiritual slumber and stir your consciousness. I want you to, there are 9 sharp sounds in this sound. I want you to let the feeling of the Shevarim that we just had, the vulnerability, to break completely apart into raw emotion. There's another step than just repenting and feeling the weight. This is that sharp, I want you to allow the vibration of 9, tet, which is choice. I want you to allow the sharp 9 notes beat on your chest like you have a racing heart or a sob that you can no longer hold back. I want it to shatter your ego. I want it to shake away your complacency and strip away all that is not of him. It is one thing to have his attention. It's another to say, I acknowledge my imperfections. I acknowledge I'm vulnerable. And then go to that deep place. Let it out. Let that sharp, let it come inside to beat strongly on what it is that he wants to completely break, completely shatter. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The intention for that is wake me up. That is the alarm. This last blast is Tekiah Gadola, which is a long extended blast bringing hope with a great trumpet. The final triumphant shout, endurance and hope for the new year. It's a triumphant rebirth. Brokenness to ultimate healing and clarity. Out of the shattered fragments, the final endless note rises. Feel a sense of relief wash over you. The crying is over. See how quick that was? That's why you had your chance.
Yeah.
The crying is over. The cleansing is done. Let the sound fill you with empty space for a fresh start. It's like a storm to stillness, leaving you empowered, resilient, and ready.
Wow.
That intention is, I am made whole again. Yom Teruah. We have officially entered Yom Teruah. Thank you, Eric, for being that sound.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going to stage your attention real quick. One thing I do want to just note, it looks like some of us kind of just instinctively did it, but what would be good with this, obviously there's randomness for a household.
If you could, I should have said this before, so I apologize, but if we could have the head of your household be seated on the right-hand side of your house going to your left. Does that make sense? All right. Well, there's no question that we're primed, right? We're primed and we're ready. So as we've received a word over the new year, now we're stepping into a Father's blessing. So as we're gathered here for this time, I feel like it'd be fitting to just say to the Father of the house, not knowing what he's got prepared, but in what's stirring as we've come prepared for tonight and whatever you have, I think it'd be fitting to just say, Dad, bless us.
Well, I don't know of any better way to get sent into what we're being sent into than to be tuned up by Mom and the result of her being pressed in and pursuing the Father on behalf of everyone here, our entire community.
Yeah.
And there's divine timing, obviously, with it being the new year. There's a divine frequency that was just released outside. And like she said, there's words that are carried on that sound. And I believe what we're going to talk about right now is the articulation of the sound that we heard outside. Okay, and so I really felt stirred that as we came in and to sit down at this community dinner table, so to speak, that it was important for us to visually recognize and be seated with each of our individual households as a family unit, and not only to see where you're assigned to sit with your family, but for everybody to be able to look across the table and identify that everybody else is seated with their family units. That is important for us to know tonight, because what we're being introduced to or stepping into is 52 individual weeks, 52 Torah portions that if you pursue it and embrace it, have the ability to shape your household and the individuals in your household into what it was that you were designed to be. And I say 52 weeks. I don't want to say this next year because that could be vague. I want us to count the weeks, because each individual week and each individual Torah portion is an opportunity for us to be shaped. Everything that she's talking about, this is the practicality, so to speak, of how we're going to walk those things out over the course of the next 52 weeks. So we have an opportunity to be shaped, and the reason why I say it like that is because if we're not in pursuit of it and we're not apprehending it, those weeks will just go by and they'll be in vain, and we'll find ourselves dealing with the same stuff that we had to deal with and fight through and wrestle with to get to this place in the first place. Right? So I want us to connect what happened outside to usher us in here is absolutely connected and intertwined with what we're going to talk about now. It's two sides of the same coin. It's not we did all the spiritual stuff outside and now we're going to get to the day-to-day operations and the practical things. It is that, but I want us to look at it holistically, because it's going to take the vertical and the horizontal for us to absolutely apprehend what Yahweh has for us over the next 52 weeks. So you guys are going to have to bear with me tonight, because I feel like what we're going to go over is three nights worth of equipping for us to get ready for the next 52 weeks, but we're going to do it all tonight. Okay? What's the purpose of what we're discussing here at this dinner table? The purpose is we're going to identify the architecture of what we've transitioned into with a shared practical understanding. Okay? There's desired outcomes for tonight, and what I would say is expectations that by the end of tonight, each family unit, as you're seated together, is going to leave with the shared understanding of the following, and you're going to be confident about it. Okay, there's no question about what's being presented tonight, especially after stepping in through that transition of divine timing and divine sound. Yeah. There's absolutely no question in my mind that the way in which I'm going to present things simply and practically, that every single family unit, every single head of your house is going to step outside confident, knowing that these are the desired outcomes for tonight, and everybody will understand that. Okay? We're going to understand what faithful activation looks like over the next 52 weeks. Faithful activation. You're going to understand the roles in your household. You're going to understand the roles of the elders and the roles of leadership. Okay? You're going to understand how this all fits into our Torah journey. Because as we just found out with the word over the year, it's a year of rest. This just fits in perfectly into Yahweh's intent for our family. Okay, we're going to understand that. We're going to know the difference between dependence, independence, and why both of those are wrong for the next 52 weeks. Okay? We're leaving a season of dependence. That doesn't mean we're stepping into independence. Okay, there's issues with both, and we're going to find out why those are both ditches on the side of a narrow path.
That's good.
Come on.
Okay?
Yeah. You don't even need to explain it. That's good.
We're all going to understand the purpose and the role of our monthly gatherings from here on out. And then we're going to understand what all of this does not mean in very clear terms. Because I would venture to say that there might be some assumptions that we're going to have to just publicly say, this is not what we're doing. This is not what's going to happen over the next 52 weeks. Does it make sense? So that's what we're all going to confidently leave with after tonight. There's a baton being passed from one era to the next, and it's hinging on this family table discussion right now. Okay, I want us to understand that. And that everything that we're talking about right now that we're stepping into, it's always been about internalization, not replacement. Something's being internalized, nothing's being replaced. Okay, go all the way back to what seemed like the beginning of our journey when we identified and recognized and dismantled replacement theology. We dismantled that, but with the crossing over that we're doing right now, there's going to be a tendency to allow replacement theology to creep back in and operate in the background and tell you things like, this last season is now no longer valid or legitimate, and it's being replaced by what we're stepping into. Okay? We've dismantled replacement theology. This is about internalizing. One covenant is being internalized from external to internal. Everything that we've walked out has been largely external. It's been pretty much at the end of the day, you could say everything that we've done is manufactured in some way, shape, or form. We have leadership, we have government, we have nonprofit structure, we have elders, we have a building that we meet at, a central location, everything's organized, meals are planned, sermons are planned. Your interaction with Yahweh, if you just limit it to that, is being propped up by scaffolding of spiritual structure. So what's happening is that's not being invalidated. That spiritual structure that needed to be in place, the type of leadership that we needed to have in place, was for the purpose of establishing what we're stepping into, and that those things can be taken back and we can stand on our own because things are being internalized. Is this making sense? Basically, tonight, what I want to do is, as the father over the house, is prepare each and every one of us first to identify that we're moving forward as individual households. That doesn't mean you're independent and on your own. It just means every individual household is going to internalize and walk out Torah in a way that they stand on their own two feet, so that we can actually, as a community, experience the fulfillment of what it looks like to be a kahal. Actual fulfillment of what that looks like. Up until now, it's been actions preceding beliefs, which is what we're stepping into. Okay? So don't let replacement theology rear its head, because I'm telling you, it might want to creep in and interpret how you're seeing things. We're all sitting with our individual households, but households do not replace the community. It internalizes community. Okay? Household Shabbat does not replace community identity. Okay? You're internalizing community identity inward, in your house. Personal study does not replace the fact that you're in covenant with people who were called to teach you. Okay? Where we're going doesn't invalidate where we've been. It took where we've been to get where we're going. Okay? And where we've been is going to be internalized where we're going. Does that make sense? You guys see the dynamic that we're walking out? Right? The old covenant, the quote-unquote old covenant, was not done away with to be replaced by a new covenant. The new covenant was, in fact, the old covenant being internalized. That's exactly what we're walking out. Okay? So then, if we understand that, then we can understand that there's a covenant pattern that we're beginning to walk out. Internalizing what was previously external. Further fulfillment of the path that we've been on. I mean, it's in retrospect, I can say for us personally, we've been on this path since 1998. The 1900s. I know some of the kids are like, 1998. Right? We've been on this path. It's a fulfillment, just like she said. Things are going to be inwardly carried and faithfully walked out within the household. It's an increase in responsibility for covenant relationship. It's like she said, this isn't a stepping into rest because we're taking a sabbatical because we've all worked so hard. Okay? This is not stepping into a vacation or a break from ministry.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an increase in responsibility. That's why it's moving. It's decentralizing from a centralized point of manufactured, so to speak, relationships or community to individual households carrying that responsibility for themselves. Okay, this is going to be a lot, but I trust that with that divine timing and the divine frequency that we're ushered in here with, that everybody's going to be confident about these things, and there you can't claim to not understand these things because it's just all we're doing is being activated in what we've been walking out. Okay. Now, just as an important reminder, we are stepping into the answers to our prayers that we prayed while we were in the thick of a religious system. We just didn't have the language to understand what the answers to our prayers looked like.
Yes.
What we're doing right now, what we're stepping into, the threshold that we're stepping over on tonight, we are stepping into the answer to prayers that we had while in religious systems that we couldn't even imagine what the answers to those prayers looked like.
If we did, we probably would have stopped praying.
Yeah, we would have. Yeah. Right? Think of all the things that you, in systems of religion, that you cried out for. Uh-huh. You desired more, right? Yeah. Deeper relationship with Yahweh and other people. True prayer, genuine worship, genuine power, restoration, truth. I just want the truth. I just want to walk in all these things that we prayed about. We are receiving the answers to. We just couldn't see outside the system to understand that it was actually embracing and reclaiming the character of Yahweh through Torah, going back to the beginning so that we can move forward and understand actual fulfillment, actual internalization of what it was that we threw away and neglected.
Yeah.
While we were praying for all of these things, he was saying, well, you have to stop neglecting my character. You have to stop tossing me to the side. You actually have to embrace this so that we can step into what we were actually called to do. How many of us, when we got introduced to Yeshua, just had a burning desire to live a true life of faith from the inside out? Right? All of us can remember when we met Yeshua and the type I remember seeing his face and the type of burning desire and passion and just sheer love that I felt and what it caused me to desire. And then that slowly faded in a system of religion. Okay? What we're stepping into is in many ways the answer to these prayers. We just didn't know how to articulate what it is that we're experiencing right now. So even outside of kingdom heirs, even outside of being called to covenant community, I want us to understand that what we're experiencing right now, Yahweh had set in motion when you were praying for things that you were praying for in religion. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What we as kingdom heirs have been through up to this point has amounted to a massive phase of demolition. There's been massive amounts of demolition.
Yeah.
There's been phases of site preparation and cultivation. There's been scaffolding and framework being built in order to establish what was always intended, which is what we're turning into right now. Years of formative teaching, years of diligent stewardship, years of intentional discipleship. And that is all paving a way for each and every family unit to internalize all of that and move forward with increased responsibility so that we can actually experience what it is that we've been proclaiming since the beginning of this ministry, which is to dwell together, to experience true dwelling and the blessings that come with that, right? That's what we've been proclaiming, not understanding that this is what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
This should all become household practice in these next 52 weeks. It's a daily live culture. That's what internalization is going to look like.
Yeah.
Okay? So what's going to actually change? Right? That's probably what everybody's thinking. You may not be hearing me because you're just thinking, all right, well, what is, okay, what? What does this look like? What's going to change? This is equipping for the crossover. Okay, as of this evening, each individual household and family unit becomes the primary weekly environment in which Torah and Shabbat are practiced. Okay, let me say that again. Each individual household becomes the primary environment where weekly Torah and Shabbat are practiced. Okay? There's no longer a dependence on a pre-organized, pre-planned weekly gathering at a predetermined location where we all come together and hear a centralized leader or leadership talk about or practice Torah or Shabbat.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Or just Torah, technically.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of them.
So instead of saying things like, what is Kingdom Heirs doing this week? You're saying, as Kingdom Heirs, what has Yahweh entrusted me and my household to carry this week?
Yeah.
What else are we fun?
What's happening now is you're possessing, you're distributing, you're walking the culture out, and you're governing all for the sake of multiplying that and doing it over and over again, generationally. Your home is being restored to its original design. That's what I mean when I say we're going to experience the fulfillment of what the Kahal truly is, because we've been referring to ourselves as the Kahal, because we meet here all together, and there's centralized leaders who are manufacturing to some degree this activity that we don't yet understand. Does that make sense why I'm saying it's been manufactured? I'm not saying that in a condescending way or in a way that we've done something wrong, but when you really begin to understand what we're stepping into, then you can see retrospectively, you can see that it has been the activity that we've been doing that we're saying, yes, Dad, but we don't really understand.
Yeah.
Okay? Your home is being restored. So what should be increasingly apparent in each and every household unit each and every week? Okay? Shabbat preparation and rest should be increasingly apparent. That should be a normal part of your household week. Torah focus weekly, which means reading, studying, conversation, application. Right? That's going to be the backbone of each individual household in their week and what it looks like. That's going to anchor everything else. Torah focus, reading, studying, conversation, application. That doesn't mean everybody doing it on their own time. Right? Because ultimately, it's a family table interaction. It's a discussion. It's an active thing that then your family is taking and leaning in and saying, how do we walk this out?
Yeah.
Okay. Practicing hospitality. Hospitality is going to be a huge part of this, because as we're decentralizing and as we're going into inward into our own homes, how are we going to stay cohesive? A big part of that is going to be hospitality, reaching out, knowing where the rest of the family's at, knowing how people are doing, knowing if people need something, knowing if people need prayer. A lot of that is going to feel like a very heavy weight on each individual household because we're not coming together weekly anymore. Weekly, it's easy to rest on the laurels of, well, I saw Dwayne last week. I haven't talked to him all week, but I'll see him on Friday and I'll see how he's doing. Right? That's not going to be a dynamic anymore. And so that's where you see the increased responsibility on each and every individual household. Right? How are we going to stay connected? A true Kahal community is going to operate in a way outside of the church, the quote-unquote church system that we've known. Okay? I'm sure you guys are all thinking and calculating, well, I'm too busy, I have too, you know, it's easy to come meet weekly because that's your predetermined time to have relationship. I'll just confine the relationship I have with my community that I'm in covenant with to a few hours on Friday night. That scaffolding is no longer going to be present, so it's going to force all of us to have relationship. Okay? Hospitality. Intentional table fellowship. Your table is going to be a central theme in your house. That's why we set this up and hosted the environment like a table tonight, because it's a central place where you conduct family business, you make family decisions, you consider legacy, you talk about the future, you debrief the past, you shape and form your children. All of these type of things happen at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are all things that should become increasingly apparent in your homes throughout the week. The formation of your children, mindfulness of generational issues.
Yes.
Mutual care. Mom talked about we're no longer going to be concerned with ourselves 99% of the time, but be concerned with others 99% of the time. So that means mutual care, not only in your household. One thing I want to say is we're going into individual households, but that does not mean just care about your household. Okay? Apply the 99-1 as a household. You have to be functioning in a healthy way in your household so that you can actually be a vessel to take care, have mutual care for the entire community.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? There could be a tendency, all right, everybody's with their house, now go do you and take care of your own house. That's not what we're saying.
I mean, take care of your house. But so that.
Please.
So that.
Increase in obedience. Collective awareness of roles and assignments. What should be apparent in each and every individual household is everybody should understand what their role might look like. The head of the house, the mom, the dad, the wife, the husband, the children, whatever the case may be, there should be some collective awareness of roles and assignments. Okay? You're not going to be aware of roles and assignments if you're not anchored in Torah and you're not reading, studying, discussing, applying. Those things aren't going to be highlighted to you because you're not giving yourself, you're not making yourself accessible to be read by Torah. And there should be a fair amount of wrestling groupings. That should be an increased occurrence in your home. Okay? And I talked about dependence and independence and how both of those are wrong. We're not swinging from dependence to independence. Okay? And this, all of this is so important because in order to step in successfully into what Yahweh's asked us to step into, we have to understand these things, because even though what we're stepping into has been ordained, He's made a way for it, He's called us to it, He's designed us for it, all of these things, it is fragile because we can just as easily destroy it if we don't understand these things. When I talk about hospitality, don't just pick and choose the things I'm talking about that sound good to you. Hospitality is absolutely critical to where we're going because it is so fragile, and we it is not owed to us. Just because we've made it to this point, Yahweh does not owe it to us to do everything. In fact, He's saying, now I'm entrusting you to be commanded in each and every individual household.
Yeah.
I'm giving you more responsibility. Right? So these things are all important. Dependence, where we're coming from, says, you carry what I should have been learning to carry. You carry it. Okay? Dependence is us expecting others to carry what we should be carrying.
Yep.
That's a ditch on one side of the road. On the other side of the road is the ditch of independence, which we are going to absolutely safeguard to not swing to the other side and operate in independence, because that's not what we're doing. Independence says, I can carry it myself, so I don't need other people.
Yep.
We're not swinging from dependence to, well, we're doing our own household thing and we don't need anybody else. We're studying Torah on our own. Right? You can see how that's equally ineffective. Okay? The narrow path that we're on in between these ditches is interdependence. It says, I carry what's mine, you carry what's yours, and we walk together in covenant community. Amen. You guys see that difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer going to be individuals or households that are depending on other individuals or households to carry things we should be carrying. Okay?
Like a marriage.
Mm-hmm. And we're definitely not swinging to the extreme of independence, because then that would ultimately amount to dissolving what it is that we have here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I carry what's mine. Whatever my responsibility, whatever my problem, whatever my thing to wrestle through, whatever Yahweh told me, that's mine and I'm going to carry it. And I'm going to trust and have an expectation that each and every additional individual or household is doing the same thing. And then that allows us to walk in a level of fullness together in covenant community that we have yet to experience. I would say we've had amazing covenant community over the past 2 decades. I would say it's been amazing. It's been nothing short of a miracle. It's been tremendous. There's been testimonies. There's been trials. There's been trenches. There's been fights. There's been crisis. There's been loss. All of that stuff we've all walked through together. Right? But yet, that doesn't even scratch the surface to where we're going if we understand what it looks like and how important it is that you have a name tag in front of your household unit, and there's a head of that household, and there's roles and assignments being issued. So the leadership is going to carry certain things. The elders are going to carry certain things. Each and every individual household is going to carry certain things. Each person in that household is going to carry certain things. Okay? Everyone's going to contribute, but everyone's going to receive too. And there's going to be nobody that's expected to carry everything. Does this sound like how we've been walking as a community to anybody? I'm not saying that to beat us up. I'm just saying this is the fulfillment. We have not experienced the fulfillment. This has all been external walking out of something and preparation and cultivation to get us ready to experience that.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about Moshe as he sent them in as part of his final act in his life? It was speaking blessings, but really what that means is becoming a blessing. That's what we're talking about. All these practical things will amount to each and every individual household learning how to become a blessing as a household. Okay? So what we're looking at is really, I would call, the established architecture of dwelling is what we're stepping into. Okay, just to review, the household is a place of weekly practice, and covenant life should be springing up within the household, which should overflow into the community. Okay, it's backwards from how it has been, that the community is the wellspring of life that everybody comes to because they need life support or whatever the case may be, and then drag yourself through the next week and come back. Right? It's the converse where the increased responsibility in all of these roles, all of these things that are going to be clearly understood and expected is growing up and out of your household.
Yeah. He's taking us off life support.
Come on. So you have, of this architecture, just to simplify it, you have each household, right? It's part of the architecture. That's where the weekly practice and the covenant life is going to take place. Okay, then you have the dynamic of relationship and connection, which you could sum up in hospitality. Okay, that's going to require an increased intent. Increased intentionality is going to be a must in each and every house. Okay. No longer can you rely on elders or leadership to be concerned with what's going on with other people and whatever crisis is happening. I'm sure they got it. I'm sure they got a handle on it. Right? We can't operate like that anymore, because there has to be an increase in relationship and connection to where we all as households have the pulse to the best of our ability. I'm not saying we know everything, but to the best of our ability, if we operate by these standards, then somebody in the family is going to know what's going on with somebody else in the family.
Yeah.
Is everybody good?
Yes.
Yeah. We have to remember, this is the answer to so many things we have prayed.
Yes.
So you have the household, you have the relational aspect and connection, and then you have the kahal, which I would say is being stewarded by elders and leaders, and that's basically going to represent community, identity, calibration, culture, direction, correction, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the overarching umbrella keeping our community cohesive, moving in the same direction, on the proper trajectory as we decentralize into individual households, reaching the fulfillment of what we've been called to actually do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So instead of Kingdom Heirs, which means we meet weekly on Friday on Arrowhead at this building, and we have a service every week, that was the structure. In simplistic form. Now the structure is each and every household unit is becoming a place of worship and ministry and Torah and rest and Shabbat, and then you have interconnected relationship, and then we come together where we're calibrated, corrected, course corrected, where culture is being dispensed and established. Okay? And none of this is performance-based.
Mm-hmm.
right? What's not, one of the things that's not going to happen that we're not saying we're going after is just recreating the system that we're stepping out of inside your house. So to reiterate, the household does not replace the kahal. You can see how the structure is the foundation is widening and separating. It's not a replacement. Okay?
Expansion.
Greater responsibility or freedom is not it's not freedom from weekly gatherings. Okay, it's not, let me say that a different way. The greater responsibility is we are not having weekly gatherings, but that doesn't mean it's freedom from covenant responsibility.
Yes.
I said that weird the first way. Okay, we're not having weekly gatherings, right, as we have known it, but that is not freedom from covenant responsibility.
Yes.
Okay. More is being asked of us, not less.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Requires greater intentionality. Be deliberate with preparation about everything. Mm-hmm. Are you guys feeling, I mean, especially after the way we were ushered in here, are you guys feeling the weight of this? We felt this was necessary because it's... We couldn't leave it up to chance of whatever people, however people are interpreting this, which could be a lot of different ways, to just skim over this transition and just send everybody into their own household without having a shared understanding of what's expected. Greater relational awareness. Nobody is scheduling relationship stewardship or maintenance opportunities for anyone anymore. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Things have been manufactured. Nobody's scheduling a weekly service. Nobody's opening the building. Nobody's coming and turning the AC on. Eric comes early every week, turns the AC on, I think. People got to turn the lights on. Who's opening? Who's closing? Who's hosting? Right? All of these things.
Sounds like a system.
Nobody. Yeah.
That we all said we didn't want to.
Right? Isn't it interesting looking back on? I think we've been on his path and it's been amazing. Yes. But now that we are realizing the fullness of what we have and what we have the opportunity to step into, it sounds manufactured.
Yeah.
So let me say that again. Nobody is scheduling relationship opportunities for anyone here. That means your house has to be postured to develop those relationships and those connections to a deeper level than you already have. You might say, what does that look like? I don't know. Right? That's the thing, right? Nobody's going to provide, like, here's what you do, A, B, and C. What we don't want to do is create a system to where we say something, well, this is how you have relationship, and then that's like, it's like robotic, like we just check off the list. So that means we have to increasingly pay attention to, pursue, and cultivate connection with other people. Are you actually typing all this? That's crazy. You can keep up. Greater ownership of Torah. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing? What's being revealed? What are you doing with it? Right? You have to be able to answer those questions weekly. As individuals, as heads of households, you have to be cultivating that environment in your house. Hey, what's Torah speaking to you? What are you seeing? What's being revealed to you? What are you doing with it? What are we doing about it?
Yep.
What does that mean for our household? There's going to be greater contribution to the community. We're going to begin to see a pattern as we come together monthly to synergize, a pattern of households carrying things
into that time of synergy. Mm-hmm. Carrying their contribution into that time of synergy that we do have monthly. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to think about it. Just like we're counting 52 weeks, just like we have 52 weeks, we're going to have 12 times of synergy gathering, cultural impartation, 12. That's it. So how much does that convey the level of intentionality we have to have, and how if you miss the opportunity to carry a contribution into one of them, you've missed one of only 12.
Yes. Yeah.
So the increasing pattern should be, our family has walked this level of covenant life inside of our house. It has produced some sort of contribution, whatever that may be, and that's what we're carrying into this time of synergy with the entire community. Versus stepping into that time of what's supposed to be synergy and ending up consuming because you need that as life support.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure you guys all remember Mom saying, the place that we're going, don't show up dead to my house.
Yeah.
So what could those contributions be? What could the things be that you're carrying? Could be testimony, revelation, engagement, encouragement, wisdom, service, addressing needs of other people. It could be, including all of these things, but not limited to these things. It could be something you wrestled out, something you connected with another family about, and you guys had a revelation about whatever. You know, those are the type of things we're talking about. Synergy, not just, oh my gosh, I've walked through all this crisis throughout the week, and I'm operating in a sense of the old leadership paradigm, and I'm looking for somebody else to carry what I should be carrying.
Yep.
Okay, you can see how all of these things add up, and if you're not exercising all of these things, you might end up showing up as a consumer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know this is a lot, but I believe it's simple enough.
It's not a lot.
It's simple enough to where we should all be confident leaving, knowing what it is we're stepping into, what the expectations are. Okay? A few things that this doesn't mean, just to clear these out of the way. Doesn't mean we're not gathering anymore. Doesn't mean everybody's on their own. Doesn't mean I don't need leadership now. Doesn't mean leadership's abandoning you. Okay? It doesn't mean it's just me and my family. Doesn't mean you can fade, detach, or disconnect, or there's room to hide in this, this place that we're stepping into. Okay? Doesn't mean it's a year off, a sabbatical, or a vacation. Doesn't mean we're going to just replicate the old paradigm in our houses because we don't have the external accountability anymore. As far as leadership, what is leadership going to continue to carry? Right? I felt like that was necessary to address because there could be a thought that creeps in after we leave the meeting and life goes on and you've had time to think about it or not think about it, that, well then, what are the elders and the leaders doing then? Right? So what...
I'll be telling you.
You could pretty much cover it all by expansion, but what's going to continue to be carried by leadership and elders is going to be Torah teaching, vision, the cultural standards of where it is that we're walking and the safeguarding of that, Shabbat demonstration and calibration, providing counsel, wisdom in proper context. Okay. Significant spiritual and relational matters. There's going to be part of this architecture of dwelling is recognizing as a household when certain things fall under the purview or the jurisdiction of your household, and those things need to be addressed or navigated within the context of your household. Okay? There may be things that reach the level of, well, this is now something that has the potential to impact the community, and so now that there's another level of jurisdiction brought in where the elders or the leadership is made aware of certain things because it concerns the entire community, right? There's going to be a level of awareness of what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, we walk together, right? There's going to be a level of understanding aspects of life and the circumstances of life, because up until this point, we've all pretty much, there's been a level of doing things so much together as family that those lines may have been blurred. Okay? The spirit of adoption, for example, if misunderstood, could have turned into or could have been outsourcing my responsibility to somebody else when it was never designed to be that. Okay? The direction of the community and expansion. Cultivating worship and prayer. Correction and equipping. Patterns of disconnect. Meaningful opportunities for convergence, calibration, and shared identity. These are all things that, as each household unit comes together and begins taking on the ownership and the responsibility of what it is that Yahweh's asked us to do, it releases the leadership and the elders to step into fully into expansion to make sure we're still moving in the same direction and on the right trajectory. Okay? You guys doing all right? So let's talk about this monthly Shabbat gathering that I'm really excited about. I'm excited about this aspect of individual households being established and having Torah be central to the life of each and every individual household. But then this time of synergy that is going to pull our family into expansion, I'm really excited about it. So just a few things about that. That monthly time is not a replacement of the weeks we're not meeting. Okay, we're not just taking everything we would have done in four weekly meetings and jamming it into one monthly meeting. Okay? It's a convergence of covenant life. Okay, what should happen is each individual household, you show up having read, studied, focused on Torah, discussed Torah, wrestled Torah, got revelation from Torah, right? All of those things, you show up that way. You show up prayed up. You showed up having walked through difficulty. You showed up having served the needs of other people. You've built relationships. You've discussed. You've challenged yourselves. You've challenged other people. You've sought out connection. You've done all of these things. And that's how you show up to the monthly time of synergy that we're going to have as a family 12 times over the next year. How different is that? What's going to be produced out of that? When you come carrying those type of covenant life contributions and nobody is consuming and not contributing.
Yeah.
If we're not vigilant about these two ditches on either side of this narrow path, we're going to erode, we're going to slowly allow this narrow path to be eroded and overcome by dependence or independence.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to be vigilant about those things. So to kind of sum all of this up, what, as we look at these next 52 weeks, these next 12 months, the Torah portions, the things that we're going to go through as individual households, what does maturity then look like? Okay, for your house, how do you assess? What does maturity in all of this look like as far as my house? Shabbat is a way of your a way of weekly life. Okay, Torah engagement is central and proactive. The children in the home understand and participate. Your table is a place of covenant life and hospitality. There's a deeper level of interconnection between homes. I feel like that's going to be a big one. That's going to be, I don't know why I feel like that's going to be one that we're all going to have to be mindful of in the busyness of life. Friday night as a weekly gathering is no longer just part of our schedule that pops up on our phone, and it's part of our routine, regiment, whatever you want to call it, to check off the list. We're going to have to proactively initiate and pursue connection, and that's going to be a big one. But that's a sign of maturity. Your household is going to know very clearly what belongs to you to carry. And you're going to know when leadership or eldership is necessary to add to the equation. Does that make sense? Correction, if correction should come, can be received without looking for an old leadership response. Right? Don't look at correction, course correction, trajectory alignment. Don't look at that as, well, I need the leadership who is now stepping into a place of safeguarding the alignment of the entire community in each individual household. Don't look at that as that you want them to respond in the way that they used to respond. Households show up corporately, able to contribute, not simply consume. And the community, as a result, is going to be more connected in abundant life that we've never experienced before. Okay, those are kind of, that's not all inclusive, but those are some guideposts that you can look and say, okay, if these type of things are happening, then we can understand that we're maturing in the proper way that he's called us to mature through this whole transition. Okay? So in the end, and I don't know how much time we have, but in the end, as to conclude this, is nothing that we have done or walked out up to this point is being dismantled. Things were dismantled, but the path that he has had us on leading up to this point is not being dismantled. It's just being distributed to each and every household.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay? Each and every household is becoming more effective in the way that you were designed to be as the true Kahal, which will then transform all of us into a greater fulfillment of the community that we all desire to be a part of.
Yes.
Nothing's being abandoned, it's being reclaimed and it's being restored.
Yeah, that's good.
There's an increase in responsibility, but it's also clear. It's also clarity of responsibility. We're not moving from dependence to independence, but from responsibility to interdependence. You're not being asked less of, you're being entrusted with more. Okay, and believe me, it's important to articulate all these things in plain terms, because there's going to be all manner of things that's going to want to get in the way to twist what it is that we're doing, or distract from what it is that we're doing, pervert what it is that we're doing as a community and what we've been called to. These things may seem obvious now while we're talking about them, while you're hearing them. They all make sense because this is part of our Torah journey. This is the place that he's called us to, but you will have to come back to this. Okay? We will have to hold each other accountable to this. And in the end, if I could just sum it up, we're internalizing what was formerly external, okay? And we're modeling new covenant patterns, right? What we've come to know intimately is that the new covenant was just something being written on your heart that was outside of you. So now it abides in you, and what was external before in our community leading up to this point is being internalized in each and every household. Okay? When she talks about the matters of the heart proceeding from your mouth, the matters of covenant life are going to proceed from each individual yes. household yeah. back into the community yeah. and back into the community at large.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what this is about. And we're absolutely mirroring the dynamic that we see across Scripture and what it was that Yeshua came to fulfill with the new covenant. Amen?
Amen.
So, I don't know if... What do you think about... Does anybody have questions? Or... I don't know how much time we have as far as discussion, but... I didn't want to just talk at you guys because it's a dinner table, and when we get together at the brewer house at the dinner table, I don't just talk at everybody and then conclude and then we all leave. So I want to hear anyone's thoughts. I would hope that this is exciting because, like I said in the beginning, this is the answer to things we've yeah. prayed about and we had no yeah. idea what the answer yeah. looked like.
The clarity is really good.
What was that?
The clarity is really good. This helps a lot.
Amen.
Any questions at all?
Eric said he has a million.
A million. How about one?
Oh, I think a lot of them, like, the questions, I don't know, they're not, I don't know yet ready to be presented. It's kind of like the question of like, hey, as the Garland household, how do we step into this? How? What's our first, you know, what are we going to be needing to do first? How are we going to connect with my family so that, you know, we're not so disconnected, you know, and relying on my time? Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's a question mm-hmm. for, you know, mom and dad as much as it's all the questions of like, how are we going to do this? What lessons are we going to learn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one way to look at it is you've been commissioned to need your service. I don't want to say a service because we're not reconstructing old systems in our house. But if you were an elder, if you were on a board that had to be intentional about what that next week looked like yeah. because you were actually carrying every single person in this yeah. room, what would that look like?
Yeah.
What's so powerful is it's endless in... Like we haven't experienced that of what that, you know, what that could look like. So for example, just to kind of readdress a couple of things, I don't know where I put this star, but he specifically said no more is someone scheduling relationship opportunities. Here's what he did not say. You can't schedule relationship opportunities. That's what he did not say. What he said is someone's not scheduling it for you, it doesn't mean it's not scheduled.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not meeting once a week, meaning it's not scheduled for you to meet once a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't say you can't meet once a week.
Yeah.
I and I've said this before, this is what's going to be so powerful because it's going to be determined on our hunger
yeah.
of what it is that he builds. And that's why we have to be you know, because we definitely don't want to build in 18 different directions.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to begin to build. It's the same thing as going from survival or life support to living, or going from survival to thriving. What does thriving look like if you were to say, okay, I mean, I don't want to throw ideas out there, but does that make sense? That he did not say, we've had some family discussions, we've had anyways meetings, We're going to say it again anyways. There could be a time where he'd say, we're pulling in the funnel, right? We're getting out of bounds. So we're going to restrict in order to get us back in alignment. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, because you're in alignment now, going back to the word that he's given us over this year, I'm putting my word in your mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a dangerous thing if you're not circumcised. Because now the responsibility is that, well, as a community, I'm being represented by one who has committed to be faithful and devoted to be that vessel. But now all of us being that vessel to carry that, like if he's weaponizing your life,
yes.
That's powerful. And know that it's only, well, first of all, as far as the word over the year, seven is just this next 52 weeks. So there's something he's building. This isn't even like, and this is the new structure.
Mm-hmm.
We only know the foundation.
Yeah.
Which is us being transformed each individually, because we do know, but that's the point of expansion is as we carry that collectively, it frees up the space for the leaders to be able to do, like we've talked about, what he talked about in the last Torah portion, I've done two things. That doesn't stop, because I'm not looking at this as a break. I'm still going to be doing two things. But now that I'm not doing this one thing, I get to do this thing and add a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's always growth, and same for you. As you start to expand and grow in that, and then not this, then add this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's increasing.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it interesting that however long ago we decided, or somebody saw the vision of, we're going to host the environment every week, and by the way, we should have the men do it. Isn't that funny? Like, we've been doing that for how long, and this is where we find ourselves.
Guess what?
Stepping in.
You don't have someone calling you saying you're next up on the list. You are an automatic host. Dwayne, sorry, you're automatically next in line.
But to kind of, you know, answer your question or your comment of, you know, just thinking about, what does that look like? Well, if you were hosting for the community, you know, what does that look like for your family on Shabbat at your dinner table? Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's like the dinner table has been something that I think towards, knowing that my family's going to be seated there on Shabbat. I think towards that. Ask Yahweh about that. Consider the things that have been going on affecting my family throughout the week, and what does he say about that? What does the Torah say about that? And then that's where we come together, and me as a father, I host that discussion, or this is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to deal with, right? Just, I mean, those type of things. And Yahweh's been having us do the action, the manufactured action that some of us might have been like, at some point or another, you know, this is dumb. Why are we, what do you mean hosting, right? And it's like, well, Yahweh was trying to get us ready to understand,
yeah.
You know, something to step into, so.
Mm-hmm.
And practically, prior to this starting, it just so happens that because we meet now on the last week of the Hebrew month. So we just entered into Tishri, right?
Yeah.
We just entered into Tishri. So it's basically the last Shabbat before Tishri ends is when we meet. And that will be our first Shabbat together, which is right after Sukkot. Like he didn't even say, and then you get 3 weeks to just try to figure it out on your own. You're going to be at Nana and Padrino's.
Yeah.
The other word that I gave you guys is you guys are going to actually get a mother and a father. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You've been saying it for a while. But you haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah.
You guys know what I mean when I say that. There's more in that. And so we're going to be meeting together, and I think that through that and releasing culture, you know, don't
it comes in increments. You know, don't feel like you've got to create this.
Yeah.
It's life,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you're flowing with the thing. If it's just one thing that he has you locked onto,
yeah.
that's going to be the thing that does it. You know, even if it's coming together as a family and saying, okay, what are you know, our family rules together, or how do we want to navigate the day? That's part of that double prep. But all of that is not, you're not just on your own to create something. We're going to be, let me say this. You're not supposed to be on your own to create that.
Mm-hmm.
We're dispensing the culture.
Yes.
He's showing us the culture.
Yes.
You're owning the word.
Yeah.
You're owning what you've already received.
Yeah.
So don't look at this as like
yeah.
you've got to try to, do we pray in the morning? And do we light candles and what time? Stop. Just get your sword. Right? And then culture is going to come. We're going to unlock culture as we walk it out. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Practically, you want to know where my mind's been? I've been trying to figure out how the heck are we going to host 60 people and use real dishes? I have an idea, but I wasn't prepared to give anything practically, but just something to think about is an idea that I have. I think every household will be in charge of bringing their Shabbat dishes. Then you're going to bring a camping bin, like a tub. And then you're going to put your dishes in the tub, and you're going to take them home. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that will work.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works. But I don't. We're not supposed to do dishes, and you guys aren't leaving, and I'm going to be doing 60 dishes after you guys leave. So then I just thought, how are we going to do this? Because one of the things in culture, anyways, we'll get there. But part of the culture, and we've talked about it a little bit with Tabernacles, is you come... The day is set apart. It is not a day that you just, now granted, on Shabbat day, lounging in pajamas, but there's an aspect of bringing your best. If it means that your grocery bill is less throughout the week,
yeah.
because you need to splurge on expensive steaks, that there is something about tasting the bread of tomorrow. Tasting what's coming and getting a down payment of that and activating that. So you bring your best, you shop your best, you cook your best, you wear your best, and you know, so there's an aspect of that. So we don't do, like in our home, we have paper plates all day long, every day. But on Shabbat, it's real dishes, and you just watch them stack. And it'll free you. It's really hard in the beginning. It's really hard in the beginning. I'm not kidding you, on Shabbat, I'd sneak downstairs and do a load of laundry. Nobody will know. Just kidding. But not really. In the beginning, there was that pull of,
yeah.
I cannot take a day off. Learning to surrender, learning to be in the fullness and in trusting and surrendering that He's the one that's going to set everything in order.
Yeah.
He's the one that's going to provide. He's the one that's going to be able to, you know, so anyways, so we'll talk about all that stuff, but it's going to be an amazing time of application of the word through the way we live our lives, just through Shabbat. And all we're doing for a year is focusing on the feast. That's all we're doing. The word's there. The word's our foundation. You guys are owning that. And then, and building on family, you know, community, but we're just shifting into really honoring the feast. We've started year by year with Pesach. There was the three feasts, and we went through each one of them. Then we had Shavuot. Now we've done Tabernacles. You guys, we've done like 7 years of feasts to where we're at the eighth day. So now he's sending us into an entire year, and he really wants us to understand how Shabbat is an absolute feast, and we get it every single week. And so it's just he's adding culture.
You guys can see how one of the safeguards is obviously the Torah portion schedule. We're all going to be reading the same thing. The journal, we're all going to be going through the same journal, right? And then the monthly gatherings, you can see how there's these core things that are still going to be kind of anchoring us all together. So
it is definitely not four nights of 25 chapters in 1 week. That's not going to happen. But what we're going to be shifting into is learning the Hebraic month. So we're the reason why we're meeting on the last week of the month is because I want to debrief as a family what happened spiritually this last month so that you can end well. Right now we're doing first fruits after first fruits has started. And so then we kind of miss some days. I want to debrief the month we've been in, and I want to prepare us for the month we're going into. There's things you're going to start to learn about his patterns. When you start operating in Shabbat, you start operating in the monthly. It's not going to be, again, well, Amber's going to bring a first fruit word, and she's going to tell us a little bit about Elul. Mm-hmm. We're going to begin to ebb and flow of what was going on in my family. Oh, that lines up with the month. That lines up with what he's been saying. That lines up with the word. We're going to start to learn his system and his culture than just education on the word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, what are the things that happened in the Torah during this month? Right?
Yeah.
For example, Elul. This month is when the dove came back after Noah hit dry ground. Right? Stuff like that. Like, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to send you into some things as you go through the month when you're looking for that. Oh, that's what was going on way back then? Mm-hmm. The flood? You know, you can start to see patterns in history and the things that are going on in our lives. It's going to bring more transformation to send us into what he wants to give us.
So. Amen.
All right, you guys, we are going to respond to this word positioning, the vertical and the lateral with communion. So before I kind of speak to the heart of that time, which should be pretty clear, there's not much that I really have to speak to. But before we do that, if we could grab our elements by household so that we can continue just the same position, I think that would be another way to stay in the same posture and not allow movement to kind of redirect us. So if we could start with your household, and then we'll just move this way
and come back here,
ending here. So grab your elements and then bring them here, but make sure that you go as a household once the household before you is done. Okay, so Whitinger's, you'll go next, and then we'll go all the way around. Okay, and wait to engage them until we're all seated together. Okay. Everybody settled? Union? Okay. All right, so there were a couple things that caught my attention tonight that we can engage in the actual elements. One of the things that Dad said was as of tonight. When he said as of tonight, that's what I want us to, when we actually drink and eat, I want what resonates in our hearts and minds is as of tonight, in that there is a sense of immediate movement and activation. So as of tonight, each household becomes the environment. Okay? Home being restored to its original design is the word over the bride. And it can only happen once it's restored in your home. So part of what we heard tonight is everything that we've been focusing on corporately, we're now being sent inward so that the fullness of what's meant to be expressed outward can actually happen. Right? So what we've always been told in kingdom, not in religion, but in kingdom, is what? About families. Healthy families. You guys remember? Yes, right? So this is the realization of that in the picture of the bride. That if we're going to be a fully restored remnant or bride, that your home, our homes, have to be walking in the original design. So when Yahweh has said, I'm taking you back to the original intent, We've looked at that at a corporate level, and there's been a part of us that's relied on that corporate expression of that restoration process that now is being fully emphasized in our homes. So there's a completion that's taking place, and I think that that is the cry of our heart when Yahweh says you're going back to the original design in your home. That's why everything that was released tonight was so significant, and that is the weaponizing. So when we're combining, when we're putting the pieces together from tonight, and you're ensuring and learning how to dot connect, because that's a huge part of what we're going to have to carry in our homes, is the ability to see Torah and culture and how one establishes the other and preserves the other. Right? And not compartmentalizing those two, or being independent or being dependent. All of those things connect. They're not separate from one another. So just like the sending into this new year and the timing of Yahweh directing this shift is all connected, because if he's weaponizing your life and he's sending you inward, right? He's not just weaponizing your life so that your life can be better.
Yeah.
That's not the purpose. I mean, I hope that we're far removed from that being the purpose, but if we're still at like this little decimal of understanding what the 99% and the one is, we might be hearing that a certain way. So how we want to make sure to engage that tonight with communion is your household is what he's developing, like, the weapon from. Like, that's how he is going to be able to command you as a community when you have a strong household. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what was said tonight. So the combination of the vertical and the lateral is that he's weaponizing your life through home being restored to its original design so that the community or the bride can be commanded. But that can't take place or happen without this next season. So if we dismiss or do any of those, I mean, those things that were safeguarded tonight, a vacation, a break, waiting for that one time a month to be 4 weeks of like a shot in the arm, all the things that he stripped us of in religion, if we don't allow our household to be restored to that original design, we won't be able to be fully commanded and utilize or be those trained weapons to fully establish what he's asking of his bride as a whole. So this is that individual on behalf of, and the only way to recognize the on behalf of is to focus inward, but knowing it's for the 99, right? Okay, so as you turn into your households for communion, take your time in recognizing what it is that's happening as of tonight. And don't drink or eat in familiarity. Yahweh has also stripped us of that when it comes to communion, but in familiarity of how it's always looked, because as of tonight, this is on behalf of that restoration of the original design of the household on behalf of the 99. So there's a distinction that's taking place that we start literally right now in response to the word over the new year and the directives that we've just been given. Okay? So this is like your first activation point, essentially, in this season and in this year. Okay? All right.
All right, family, a couple final things. It seems like we're seeing some of the weight of that shift, and families are engaging those things. So definitely continue in that. I just will send this around for offering and first fruits.
I don't know where our black little bucket thing went, but this is cute. But if we can just make sure, like, as heads of households, that this is that, like, final prompting or reminder, like, we still have a house to run. There's still things that we'll be doing even though we won't physically be in the call. So don't let that escape your mind, that there's still a responsibility, just like our continued steps is more responsibility. It's not hands off. So we want to make sure that as heads of households or whoever would need to own that, that there's either reminders or promptings or something like that, that it's owned and not forgotten. And then with first fruits, Tishri, I just think it's super crazy and timely. Like when you were talking about the word over the year being Shabbat, this month is the month that begins with rest, and it's a month of rest. So it begins with rest, it's a month of rest, and now we're in a year of rest. And so I just think it's crazy to just see how timely he is as we're stepping into all of those things in engaging his culture in rest. And so it feels like it's like rest four times over this Shabbat. And so just really be intentional to take that time as a family, take that grace that you're afforded, that he's giving each household to really just engage. What does that look like for your family? There's four times the strategy to grab onto. There's four times the revelation to take hold of and make your own. And so don't let this Shabbat pass or this month in its entirety pass without really just owning that, grabbing onto it. It's also interesting because the month is the month of coming back home. I'm just like, what? As we're all sent into our homes. And the Hebrew letter for this month is Lamed. So you guys remember Mom's teaching last week? The last letter of the Torah was Lamed. I was like, anyway. So we'll continue with that. But take those pieces, take Lamed, make it a new beginning tomorrow morning, bring the heart of what he's been speaking, and make sure to carry that to fruition in your homes. So. Mom, you said you had something? Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to bring us back to the trumpet blast as we leave. I want... Tonight was a family table discussion. We got to see vertical and lateral expansion kind of launch us into this new year. But I don't want us to forget and honor that we just entered into the fall feasts.
Yeah.
So tonight is Yom Teruah, and now we're stepping into, after the Shabbat and tomorrow night, you are in the 10 days of awe that will bring us to Yom Kippur. So our next intention is getting to Yom Kippur. So what I will leave you with is to think about those shofar blasts. I want to read these again. When you're thinking about a coronation of a king, when he's coronated, then what? What is he going to do? Just show up? And then we're just going to be like, cool. Like, we're going to hear the trumpet, and then we're just going to be like, we probably are going to have a family table discussion about what this is going to look like for the next 1,000 years. But hey, but you know, you don't just hear a trumpet blast and then move on. You're operating within the trumpet blast of what the coronation means. And that's what's sending us into Yom Kippur. So without getting into a whole lesson, I just want you guys to remember that you are acknowledging again, may my ears be open to the voice of the shofar, and may my heart be open to the truth of who I am in him and with him. Trumpet blast, I am here. I accept my imperfections. Wake me up in order that I may be whole again. The 10 days of awe is extremely intentional when he's talking about a countdown to get to the place of where we are at Yom Kippur. Right now, in another realm, there's a book that is open. That book in the rest of the year is not open. That book is open, and there's the book of life. Well, never mind. Just there is, your books are open, and you're going through your books. You are going to feel in the next 10 days, I need to make that right. I need to make that right. Why am I remembering this? You might remember something when you were 5 years old. I threw that rock at that little boy. I need to, there's things that are, because that book is going to be read. This is a prophetic act of calling forth when that book is open, and you will be accountable for everything in that book, blood or not. In fact, Yeshua is the one reading the book. So you're going to look like a fool if you go up to him and be like, hey, it's under your blood. It might be, but what's in the book? Every year we have an opportunity to look at our books. I cannot get into it, but it is absolutely powerful when you recognize righteous deeds and the things that we've been taught that they're nothing but filthy rags. It's not scriptural. Righteous deeds do matter, and it's what you're clothed with. For the next 10 days, you get to look at your books and know that they're open. On Yom Kippur, they shut. Does that make sense? So for the next 10 days, I am here. You have my attention. I will turn inward. I accept those imperfections. Wake me up that I may be whole. Use this opportunity as a divine opportunity. If my books are open, let me see the garment you're going to smell. Let me see the book you're going to read before me that I may in this lifetime look at that. What an honor. 10 days. Yom Kippur. Amen? So think about those shofar blasts. That's what we're in for these fall feasts. When you get through Yom Kippur and your name is written in the book, that's what we get to celebrate at Tabernacles.